Welcome to the Somerset Emotional Wellbeing Podcast. My name is Dr. Andrew Treseder on behalf of Somerset CCG, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Peter Bagshaw, GP in Somerset, and mental health lead also for the Somerset CCG.
And I'm really pleased to welcome our guest today, Andy Pritchard, who comes to talk about Mind in Somerset. In fact, he runs Mind in Somerset and has done so for a number of years. And we're going to be talking about wellbeing in Somerset, services and self-help. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you very much, guys.
So I suppose our first question, tell us, what is Mind in Somerset?
So Mind in Somerset is a mental health charity focusing on the county of Somerset, albeit we do have a couple of projects that go into neighbouring counties. And we've been running since 1982, providing services to our local community as a sort of mental health support organisation, both delivering some services in more traditional clinical settings and on the whole, though, doing a lot more out in the community with the people of Somerset.
And can I ask, Andy, is it mainly staffed by people with lived experience of mental health problems, healthcare professionals?
So I think it's quite a range. I mean, I think Mind and its foundation certainly sees itself as a grassroots organisation, so it's often through people's lived experience out in the community. We have both paid staff and volunteers. And I would say in amongst those groups, there are some people who are perhaps training and working towards a longer-term career in mental health, some people who've come to the organisation because of their personal lived experience and wanting to be involved in providing support and sometimes giving something back to the community, right the way through to people who perhaps have studied and have more formal qualifications in the various different pieces of work that we offer.
So if somebody contacts you, they can be confident that they're going to be talking to somebody who knows what they're talking about. And
absolutely. I mean, everyone involved in the organisation will have had a basic set of training, and then further than that, will have that life experience training ultimately that has brought them to being involved with the organisation. But yeah, we hope and like to think that we are sort of very much abreast of where things are at with mental health and the sort of current thinking. Equally, we're always ready to learn and hear more. And indeed, the very diversity of our team is what helps us achieve that, because everybody does have so many different experiences.
Well, certainly when I'm looking for resources, I often go onto the national website, which has very, very clear pieces on everything, which is written in a very easy to understand way, and I find very useful.
Yeah, and I think certainly as a first point, if anybody is looking for information around particularly mental health diagnoses, etc., the online resources and indeed the physical books that Mind produce nationally are a really good resource. You can have a look at those. Those are available if you just go to the mind.org.uk website and look up information and guidance. One of the things when I'm delivering training that I really like about them is they've then at the end got a section for friends, family and carers. So it's sort of thinking about others who might be supporting somebody, but also give a link and the online version give a hyperlink to other places that you can go and get information and guidance on that topic. And I guess act as a good vetted source of information that you can be sure is safe and checked. Obviously, with the world of the internet, there are information sources out there that sometimes can be incorrect or unhelpful sometimes. So the Mind booklets and that information is also a good starting point for anyone.
So certainly the national website, the mind.org.uk, is very comprehensive. It covers issues like what to do in an emergency and some very good peer-reviewed, peer-supported information about a whole range of mental health conditions. But Andy, here we are in Somerset and you run Mind in Somerset. What is there specifically for Somerset residents? And I'm thinking particularly at this time of challenge.
Yeah, so we run a range of projects that are kind of very much driven by community need. And certainly one of the things that we've been trying to do is adapt that offer to respond to the kind of COVID needs. So one of the main pieces of work we've been doing recently is taking the Mindline helpline service that traditionally ran in the evenings, but with the COVID response, we've increased that. So it is now a 24/7 service. And very much that is a good entry point into getting some support. The service operates by providing people with a listening ear, and then people can access other wider supports. And we are part of a new partnership going on across the county, the Mental Health Alliance, and that is bringing together other voluntary sector organisations and the statutory sector to look at how can we break down some of the barriers that we know exist in terms of mental health accessing support, but also sometimes just where people don't always want to have to go to one place to then go to another place. And some of the innovations that we're trying to achieve is to bring about a no wrong door approach ultimately, so that people can approach one place and actually be what we're calling a kind of warm transfer or hand-holding process. So if somebody were to ring up Mindline and let's say that they were experiencing some heightened anxiety, something that people are coming to us at the moment, we would give them the opportunity just to talk through what those issues were, but then work with them. Is this something that they've got some of the tools themselves that they can actually work towards and solve? Or are there some services out there that might be able to help them a bit more, and then go on to access those? So Mindline gives that initial half-hour support, and that will be with trained call handlers, some of whom will be volunteers, some of whom will be paid staff, some of whom, as I've already said, will have had their own personal lived experience, some who will be training in mental health, some who will already qualified in various different backgrounds. But they would then also work with that caller to say, well, okay, we've had a half hour chat. An option you've got is you can always ring the service back. I mean, the whole point of Mindline is that it's a low level access, so people can access it as and when they need. There's no referral. You just ring the number, you make that decision. But if you need a bit more support, we've then got a range of options that people can access, which sort of are broadly based on a sort of one-to-one support at the moment, usually using a video conferencing tool at the moment during COVID. But that will evolve into in-person support. There will be group support available on that. And indeed, by being part of a wider alliance of mental health charities, ranging from organisations that have got experience in community support through to drug and alcohol support, through to where perhaps somebody needs support around a mental health issue that's causing a bigger impact on their lives and needs some more intensive support around that, right the way through to being able to draw in medical and clinical expertise from our partners within the NHS. So it's designed, and I think an exciting opportunity, where before we would perhaps have referral pathways and waiting lists, etc. The idea here is that actually the moment somebody has picked up the phone or made that first contact, however they've done that, that they're starting on a journey that ultimately, hopefully, will bring about some resolution to some of the issues that they're presenting.
And obviously, a lot of people are struggling with mental health problems because of the social situation. Are you able to deal with that side of things as well?
Yeah, to a certain extent. So I think some examples I'll give, we definitely have people who are accessing service Mindline, this is, because they are feeling isolated and alone and just need somewhere to talk and be heard. And then options beyond that, let's say it's identified that they would benefit from some other kind of group support. There's a number of options. One of the Alliance partners is the Excellent Watch Project, and they have a specialism in peer support. And I know on a weekly basis, they are offering a space for people to come together virtually at this point to access that support. And within the wider Alliance, even within the Mind services, all of our different peer groups have provided a kind of Zoom or another virtual offer. So within the peer offering in the county, I mean, you've got a myriad of options from a very sort of just coming along, I suppose, having your cup of tea and cake at home in your own living room, but a very social chat kind of space, through to slightly more specialist services. So there's hearing voices, peer support groups. We've got some peer support groups that focus on particular issues, such as people who've been bereaved by suicide. And then I know others within the Alliance have got some spaces that people can talk through particular issues that maybe they're experiencing. So that might be around drug and alcohol issues and elsewhere. So there's a variety of supports. And I think one of the other real things that we're trying to drive forwards is to look at what is in that wider ecosystem of support, because there's also a recognition that often, you know, it might be that it's causing that person anxiety, but it's an underlying practical cause. So it may be uncertainty around finances. It may be a challenge around housing. And if we can get that other sort of wider determinant of health resolved or in a better place for somebody, well, perhaps actually that lowered mood or that anxiety will in itself reduce.
So diagnosis, support and signposting. And before we go any further, I'm just going to say a telephone number, which is a really important one, not as a plug, but just we'll repeat it two or three times during this podcast for people in Somerset. Taunton, that's 01823. And I think, Andy, you'll be able to test me on this. It's 276892.
You're right there, absolutely.
So that's 01823, Taunton, 276892. And if I read it rightly, that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which is a fantastic, fantastic offer from Mind in Somerset.
Absolutely. And what I would say to people is just give it a go and see, and it will be a friendly voice, somebody who's prepared to listen and hear and give you that time and space. And you don't have to have booked a slot or anything. It's just on your own terms when you want to talk and speak.
Are there any particular issues that you're seeing during these strange times that maybe you weren't seeing before?
I think what we're starting to see is a broader age range of people coming forward seeking support. I think we've had callers accessing the service. We don't always know the age of callers, but I'm pretty sure we've had somebody as young as 12 accessing the service. What I would say for our young people accessing the service, we've also got in the background Young Somerset providing provision to the service as well. So if it's identified within that sort of short half-hour call that a young person would benefit from more support, we've then got the youth workers and young people's team at Young Somerset able to, again, come online, have a bit more of a chat with somebody. One of the nice things, actually, that's highlighted for us, because we know confidentiality can sometimes be a real key thing for our callers, is the way the system works, we don't have to be given any details. You can share however much you want. But if you did want to speak, let's say somebody was appropriate to talk to Young Somerset, we don't have to have your telephone number. We can just arrange to transfer that call straight through to Young Somerset in that instance. And in fact, that's pretty much the same with all of the wider partners. What we're trying to do is to bring about that innovation, the technologies there. So you don't have to give us your contact details. We can just transfer you through. And as long as that service is available, you can directly speak to whoever that extra person is without having to have shared those details.
And Young Somerset, there's more information on their website, which is youngsomerset.org.uk, should any of our listeners want to know about that.
And what sounds really great is that if somebody rings you, they're not going to be told, sorry, we can't help your problem, or ring back later, or you've come to the wrong place, go somewhere else. So they're going to have their problem dealt with. And if there's somewhere more appropriate that can help them, they'll be passed on to that.
Yeah.
Without any hassle.
I think the whole emphasis, I mean, this piece of work within the wider Alliance is known as the Transformation Project. And it is exactly that. I long ago read lots of information about, quite often, sadly, people would get to about six different agencies before they got the help they wanted, or quite often would give up trying. And this is absolutely about trying to avoid those situations where somebody gets passed around the system.
You've mentioned the word alliance, Andy. Who's in the alliance in Somerset? We've heard young Somerset, but so there's Mind in Somerset.
You're going to test me. Can I remember everybody?
So broadly,
I'll give it a good go, Andrew. So it's an alliance to draw on the different strengths and needs that there are. So Rethink Mental Illness are involved and are very much leading and supporting us around the governance. In terms of the mental health provision, we've got the Balsam Centre. So we're also trying to cover off the geography of Somerset. So the Balsam Centre based down at Wincanton. We've got SWEDA, so a specialist in eating disorders, but also located in Mendip. So give us some provision there. We're working with Second Step, who have a focus across the county, but also to a certain extent in Sedgemoor within our process. We're working with Somewhere House Somerset, so they've got a specialism around drug and alcohol. We are working with Spark Somerset, so they are providing sort of some infrastructure, volunteer support. We're also working with Citizens Advice across the county. Again, this is a good example of recognising it as often financial or other sort of wider issues that are causing some of the challenges for people. So Citizens Advice were able to help. And also Age UK as well, they're supporting us, coming up with some innovation and practice around how we can support some of our older contacts and the ways that people might need some different support.
And it's worth maybe just setting the scene. You've mentioned about this transformation project. So people in Somerset are actually very fortunate if they have mental health problems, because we've been successful in bidding from the government, and one of 12 trailblazer CCGs who've been putting money into exactly the sort of thing that you've been describing. And I've been absolutely bowled over by how well all these different groups are working together to help people in Somerset.
Yeah, it's a great innovation. And of course, I've just mentioned the voluntary sector partners in there. I mean, it also absolutely involves our NHS partners as well. And in fact, in each district of the county, on a weekly to fortnightly basis, there is a locality meeting. And that is bringing all of those agencies together to look at how do we make sure that we cover off any gaps that have been identified, and also a space where we can talk about, actually, we could do this differently. And the idea behind that is, you know, agencies obviously would have internal conversations about how they could support somebody, but no one agency is going to know about all the different options and supports that could be available. And this brings a real kind of strength to the system, everybody coming together like this.
Perhaps I can take the opportunity to give a plug to our primary care mental health workers. So again, it's a completely new service to Somerset, where each practice will have mental health trained people within them who can be referred or self-refer with very little waiting lists. So we're doing all we can to try and help absolutely at the ground roots to help people with emotional resilience.
So that's a really great alliance between yourselves, all, as you say, all your voluntary partners, and Somerset Foundation Trust, the statutory providers. And the way to access you is that phone number, 01823 276 892.
Yeah, although it's important to note, Andrew, I mean, the phone number, particularly during COVID, is going to be a key way to get in. The idea, though, is there's no wrong door. So you could actually, in fact, approach any of those organisations, and if actually they weren't the correct agency at that point for the needs, they would link you up with the appropriate partner. So it's a kind of, use that number certainly as a good way in at this point, but it won't be the only route in.
And thinking of self-help, so people will contact with a whole range of issues, from anxiety to other issues. How can we help ourselves? We're lucky in Somerset to have beautiful countryside, but what sort of things can we do to self-regulate, to help at a time of fear and distress, to help our own selves to calm down and to feel better and to improve our emotional well-being?
I guess, I mean, it's a lot of the things that some people will be familiar with. I've used five ways to well-being sort of ideas that people may have heard of around connecting as one of the key parts of that and being active.
So connect with other people, move our physical bodies, make our muscles move, because muscles are designed to move, especially outside. And I know that we're recording this on a Zoom meeting at the moment, which is interesting, but lots of us are spending far too long sitting gazing at a screen, and we need to get up every few minutes and do a little twirl or something to move our physical bodies. So that's connect, it's be active. And the other things that we should be doing?
So you've got learn in there, and keep learning, doing something new. I guess in some ways, I guess the extra internet time does give the opportunity to learn. But as you say, let's not forget that we can learn so much by being outside, doing things slightly differently. And I think give is the other one as well. And it's how can we be involved in our communities, which we're obviously seeing quite a lot of, with people getting involved with all the various helpers projects that have started up. But I guess for me, it is absolutely thinking and being mindful about what am I doing within my routine and my schedule. And you're quite right, the potential is we could spend a lot of time on screen. So it's making sure that you're regularly standing up, moving around. I think the other opportunity, though, is to not necessarily think that because you were doing an activity before, that it has necessarily stopped. What you'll find, and I think this is what I would say around some of our peer group work that we do, a number of members of some of the peer groups had just initially thought the groups just weren't happening, and been really surprised when they've actually found that they're almost as active as they were before. And a couple of experiences that I could share that I think people have sort of, it's really resonated with me, is where sometimes people have perhaps been able to be more engaged because they're actually in an environment that they're comfortable with at home, whereas when they were having to go to a meeting space, perhaps were slightly more anxious because that was less familiar to them. And so certainly we've experienced some really positive narratives and stories. Actually, one of the groups where we weren't sure how the technology would work was supporting some of our hearing voices groups. And actually we found that some of those members have been able to engage far more because of the technology. It's been something that they've been more comfortable with and felt safer in, perhaps at times, sharing something that was more personal to them.
You mentioned giving, and certainly it's something I see that people who get involved in helping others feel much better themselves. How would people volunteer if they want to get involved?
So there's a couple of routes. People can get in touch with Spark Somerset. They are leading in terms of the volunteering opportunities across the whole county. Specifically for this project, again, you could go through Spark. And if somebody wanted to get involved in Mindline, they could actually directly make contact. Actually, same process, ring the same number, the 01823 276892, and just ask about the service, and they would take your details and pass you through to the training team. And indeed, we are looking for more people to come on and be on the helpline. As you can imagine, going to a 24/7 service, both having team members available who've got those listening skills and availability, is a really core part of us being able to continue to deliver this service going forwards.
Thank you very much, Andy. That's really interesting. And what Peter and I have often done is just looking at self-help is just to remind ourselves that as busy bodies, we can often be, not busy bodies, but as buzzing bodies, we can often be on sympathetic drive. We can be on alert, alert, alert. And it's quite useful just to put our feet on the floor. Now, anybody who's listening, please, if you're driving heavy machinery or you're doing fine work, please don't engage in this exercise, but you may wish to just put your feet on the floor, allow your spine to be comfortable, and using your tummy muscles, using your diaphragm, just to take some slow, gentle, rhythmic breaths in through your nose and slowly out again, just a couple more of those, and just notice how you feel, because it's so easy in these busy times to do what we have to and to help others, but to forget that a few moments of quiet and relaxation and changing our breathing actually puts fuel back in our tank by allowing us to get back to a sensible refreshment, to allow us to refuel and retrench.
You mentioned Spark Somerset. Can I just give a plug for their number, which is 01460-202970. And do you want to give Mindline's number again, Andy?
Yes, so it's 01823-276-892.
Wonderful. Well, it's really great to hear what's happening in Somerset. For well-being in Somerset is a time of challenge, for mental health and well-being, services and self-help. So thanks very much, Andy, for talking us through what Mind in Somerset are doing and for reminding us about five ways to well-being. And Peter, as always, a pleasure to be with you. And thank you, everybody who's joined us today.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to the Somerset Emotional Wellbeing Podcast, hosted by Dr. Andrew Tresidder and Dr. Peter Bagshaw. The show was created by David Seeley and was produced by Rob Hunt's Music on behalf of the Somerset Clinical Commissioning Group.